The next thing we wanted to mention is that when a woman is nashiz, when she's nashiz, when she is disobedient in the house, the woman, she should not, the man should not leave the house. Yarhamakullah. The woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, in Surah An-Nisa, verse 34, وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. Separate from them in the beds. Separate your beds from them. Do not sleep with them. This can be done one of two ways. Either A, you leave the bed, akhi, and sleep on the couch or on the floor. Or B, she gets out of the bed and she sleeps on the couch or on the floor or another room. This is as a means of takhweef. This is not punishment. This is takhweef. This is intimidation. This is intimidation. Separating from the bed, beating the woman lightly, all of these things is only for intimidation to make her shocked, become shocked, and return back to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As for leaving the house, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has ordered us not to leave the house except for the times that, of course, there's some situation where you cannot forestand or withstand the internal situation, and then in that case the man has to leave. But in normal circumstances, when the woman is disobedient, the man should not leave the house. Or I should say, the man should not go completely out of the house. He can go to an upper room, for instance. If you have a house, you have an attic, he can go to that upper room and stay there until his wife comes back to her senses, meaning comes back to the Quran and the authentic Sunnah on the understanding of our rightly guided predecessors. Also, a man, if he can, he should not stay in the house by himself or travel by himself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has forbade al-wahda. Al-wahda is being by yourself, as he said, as the companion Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَهَى عَنِ الْوَحْدَةِ أَنْ يَبِيتَ الرَّجُلُ وَحْدَهُ أَوْ يُسَافِرَ وَحْدَهُ. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited a person spending the night by himself or traveling by himself. And this is from the wisdom of Abu al-Qasim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because, and this is referring to a person being out. He's not in his own house by himself. Doesn't mean his own house. Meaning when he goes out to travel, he should travel with someone. And when he stays in that hotel or stays in that cottage or that room, he should have some brothers with him. And this is the wisdom of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, revealed to him for us by Allah, because of the things that are on the road or the things you may encounter, like the enemy, like some thieves, like wild animals, etc. So if you have someone with you, it's more security. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, a person traveling by himself, he has a shaitan traveling with him. Two people traveling, there's two shaitans with him. Three people traveling is a real trip. This is from the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. In addition to this, of the etiquettes of the home and how to make our home an Islamic household. And as we mentioned before, when the person goes out, the person is sleeping by himself or spending the night by himself, we don't mean the person's actual house. We mean when he's going on a trip, that he should take someone with him. For instance, something happens to him, he needs some medical care. He has someone with him, give him the bandages, etc. In addition to this, a person shouldn't sleep on the roof of a house or any type of building unless there's a fence or some type of barrier that can keep the person from falling off the roof. This may seem simple, like, you know, common sense, but this once again shows the perfection of Islam. Because you might, for instance, in some places, maybe not here in America, and especially Brooklyn, but you go overseas, and maybe even in America, you have some people that have some homes, they have this thing on their roof, like especially overseas. You go to Mecca and Medina, other places, you'll find some people, like one of our friends, he lives in Mecca, he has a roof on the top of his house, he has a little room up there, and sometimes you go out there and you just cool out, just sleep under the stars. You should not sleep on a roof unless you have a fence or something like a fence around it, because you may fall off. And once again, this may sound very simple and like it's common sense, but be surprised how many people could do this, sleeping on a roof. Next thing, you know, you have one of those real nice dreams. You roll over, ah, boom, you know, you fall off, break your neck, or hurt somebody on down below. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man bata ala zahri baytin laysa lahu hijarun, faqad bari'at minhu dhimma." And this hadith is collected by Abu Dawood with an authentic chain, alhamdulillah. Whoever sleeps on the roof of a house, on the top part of the house, and he has, and it has no stone enclosure or fence or something like that, he won't be free of blame. This is a rough translation of this hadith. In other words, the person who is allowing you to sleep on their roof, they should have something there on some enclosure. If you go up there and they don't have an enclosure and you sleep up there at your own will, whatever happens to you, they're not responsible for it. That's what it means. In other words, when you come to their house, they don't have to build a wall or put a fence up. If you see that fence up there and you choose on your own volition, you choose from your own decision to go up there and there's no fence or wall there and you fall off, that person has no blame on them. You are at fault. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And we should take care of these things, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our protector. Lastly, we'd like to say before ending it, it's 7:55 now, that cats, C-A-T-S, cats, are not considered najis. Cats are not considered najis. The entire cat itself is not considered an impure thing, like a dog. If you have cats in your house, you go to someone's house and they have a cat, and I know somebody's going to say, "Ew, oh man, the cat drinks out of your orange juice that the brother sat there for you, or the sister sat some water there for you, some grape juice, the cat licks from it, sticks the tongue in there, or rubs up against you." This is not considered najis. I know you don't want to drink after the cat, but there's no problem in the cats roaming around the house or eating, licking from your food. There's no problem, because the saliva of the cat, the tongue of the cat, the hair of the cat, the tail of the cat is not najis. It is not impure like a dog. And to that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from a hadith transmitted by Abdullah ibn Abi Qatada from his father, that it says, "Wudi'a lahu wadu'uhu fawaligha fihi sinnawr fa'akhadha yatawadda faqalu ya Aba Qatada qad walagha fihi sinnawr فقال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم يقول السنور من أهل البيت وأنه من الطوافين والطوافات عليكم وفي رواية إنها ليست بالنجسة إنها من الطوافين والطوافات عليكم. And this hadith is authentic, collected by Imam Ahmed, and the other narration is also collected by Imam Ahmed with an authentic chain. The hadith that says that Abdullah ibn Abi Qatada said from his father that the water for wudu was brought to him and a cat licked it. And then he began to make the wudu after the cat licked it. And then he said, "Oh Abu Qatada, a cat just licked that of your water. What you doing?" In other words, what are you doing? He said, "I've heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam," whom we all have to remember, Allah mentions in Surah Najm about him, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنَ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak of his own desire, but his revelation, which he's inspired with. I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, cats are part of the family of the house. Cats are of the Ahlul Bayt. They are actually members of your house. Cats. And that they intermingle with you, intermingle with them, and they intermingle with you. The Prophet ﷺ used the word tawaf, like you make tawaf around the Kaaba. He said, وَأَنَّهُ مِنَ التَّوَّافِينَ وَالْتَّوَّافَاتِ عَلَيْكُمْ. That you make tawaf around them, and they make tawaf around you. Meaning, You intermingle with them, and they intermingle with you anywhere in the house you want, because they're part of your household. And in the other narration collected by Imam Ahmed, in conclusion, he said, إِنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ بِنَجَسٍ إِنَّهَا مِنَ التَّوَّافِينَ وَالتَّوَّافَاتِ عَلَيْكُمْ. That they're not impure, you intermingle with them, and they intermingle with you. And this is what we want to present today. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك. استغفرك وأتوب إليك. And we have some questions inshallah. The first question, وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Should parents ask their children who are in puberty if they should enter their rooms or area? I don't understand the question exactly. If the parents should ask their children who are in puberty if they should enter, I don't understand the question. Oh, you mean should the parents ask the children who's reached puberty, can they come into their rooms? Allah knows best. Allah knows best. Because in the ayah, it mentions three types of people. Three types of people. The slaves, the slave girls, and the ones who haven't yet reached puberty. Those are the ones who can't come in unless you give them permission. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next question. What are the exceptions of raising a weapon to a Muslim, and is it permissible to beat your child with a belt? As for this question, it doesn't pertain to the topic tonight. We're going to save this when we get to the section of disciplining your children. Of disciplining your wives and your children. We're going to save that for that part of this, how to develop an Islamic household class. Inshallah. Next question. Is it permissible for a woman who is married to make hijrah by herself? That's not pertaining to the question either. Inshallah, we'll come back to that if we have time. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. I'm very concerned about being prepared for death. How do I pay for it if the spouse dies? Can you get that for me, please? If the spouse dies, the burial and pay debts. I've heard insurance is a form of riba. Okay, this is not pertaining to the question either, to the class either, inshallah. We'll come back to it. The next question is, are pictures on the wall prohibited in the household? And if so, what kind of pictures? All pictures that have the images of things that have souls, human beings and animals. And those pictures include television sets. Television sets are included. Does traveling mean moving around Brooklyn for business, etc.? This is not part of three people is a real trip. Traveling around Brooklyn, no, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that, no, and Allah knows best. Any questions from the brothers pertaining to the topic? No. Yeah, if they're drawn pictures and they're pictures of human beings or animals, they're not permissible. It's not permissible to draw them, nor is it permissible to hang them up after they're drawn. Animals have souls, absolutely. No, Abdullah ibn Abbas, when a man came to him, but first, before we even go to Abdullah ibn Abbas, then what is it that's making that thing breathe? What is it that's making the animal breathe? It's the ruh. Right? That's number one. Number two, that's a rational proof. Aql, that's an aqli proof. Now a naqli proof. Transmitted proof. Alhamdulillah. Abdullah ibn Abbas was approached by a man who was an artist. He said, I'm an artist, and I want to draw. He said, you may draw as long as you don't draw things that have a ruh. Like people and animals. And if you have to draw a landscape. That's what Abdullah ibn Abbas told the man. And he explicitly said, as long as you don't draw things that have souls. And he said, people and animals. If it's people and animals, you should not have them. Next question. Television has pictures. It's haram to have pictures. I didn't say it's haram to watch them. I said it's haram for you to have the pictures in your house. Televisions emit pictures of human beings and animals. The angels don't come in your house where there's pictures and where there's dogs. The pictures on the TV are worse than the ones that are on the wall, because the ones on the TV move, which is an imitation of Allah's creational abilities. And Allah is going to say to the person who created that, give life to that which you created. So Allah has forbade us to have anything in our homes that has pictures. In fact, he was invited to one of his companions' homes, and one of his companions had pictures on the wall, and the Prophet wouldn't go in the house, turned around and left, and said, I don't go into homes that have pictures. So how much more TVs? Okay. If the cat eats of the food, do we have to eat it? If we throw it away, are we in sin? You don't have to eat it. And if you throw it away, yes, you are committing a grave mistake. Yes. If you throw it away, you're committing a grave mistake. We know that in our so-called culture, we're not used to eating behind cats or eating with cats. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us the culture of Islam. And though it may be reprehensible and disgusting to our adopted culture, which is not the culture of Islam, we have to remember that there's only two cultures. The culture of Islam and the culture of Jahiliyyah. There's only two cultures. The culture of Islam. I don't know if this is understood what I'm saying. There's only two cultures. There's no such thing as an African culture, American culture, Chinese culture, Pakistani culture. That doesn't exist. There's no such thing as Pakistani food, American food, Russian food, Afghani food, Bangladeshi food. This doesn't exist. There's only two cultures. Islamic and Jahiliyyah. That's it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought the culture of Islam. The same clothing that the pagan Arabs were wearing was the clothing that the Muslims were wearing. But when the Quran came down telling us what to wear, that clothing stopped being Arab clothing. It's now Islamic clothing. It's Islamic clothing now. Because the women in Jahiliyyah used to cover their head. The women in Jahiliyyah used to cover their heads with what we call a khimar. But the khimar used to go back to the backs, and it didn't cover their breasts and their necks and their ears. It used to cover. They used to go just hang, like the, you see the Nation of Islam women and the nuns. You see, that's the way the women used to wear their hair covered in Jahiliyyah. All right. When the verse came down, it changed that Arab headdress to the Islamic headdress. Even though the pagan Arabs wore thawb, when the verse came down in the Hadith, the Sunnah came down. That changed that Arab culture, Jahiliyyah, Kufr thawb, to an Islamic thawb. There's only two cultures, and that's why the scholars of Islam say, "Man dakhala al-Islam, dakhala ri'ayan." No, excuse me. "Man dakhala al-Islam, khala'a rida' al-Kufr, wa dakhala al-Islam uraya." Whoever enters into Islam, they throw off the clothing of Kufr, and they enter into Islam naked. Why? It's because those things that may have previously been of Jahiliyyah and Kufr, Islam now shows you that it's no longer that when the verses in Hadith come down, that this is Islamic now. So when we talk about culture, food, clothing, etc., the culture of Islam is five things: wajib, haram, mustahab, makruh, and halal. That's it. That's our culture. Wajib, haram, mustahab, makruh, and halal. You can't say that's the Pakistani Muslims culture. You can't say this. Islam has its own distinct culture, and everything that is not Islamic is Jahiliyyah. Everything. If your so-called adopted culture of America has some things that Islam approves, then it's Islamic, it's not American. Do you understand what we're saying? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to drink from the same bowl with cats. That's not Arab. That's Islamic. Why? It's because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innaha laysat bi najasin." They are not impure. Cats are not impure. So it's not from their culture. The Arab culture that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank from that same bowl as a cat. That's from Allah, from Islam. Now you can drink from it if you want. It's not wajib on you to drink the milk or drink the orange juice or eat from the same plate. It's not wajib. But it's definitely haram in our culture for you to throw that food away because of that. It's haram. So now you have to make the decision. Who you want to obey? You want to obey al-Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Eat from it and get that barakat, drink from it and get that barakat of following the sunnah, and the sunnah whoever's followed, if he follows one sunnah, if a person revives one sunnah, it's like having a hot coal in their hands. Just one sunnah. Or they can do something else with the food without wasting it. And Allah knows best. The next question. Woo, woo. Man, oh man, oh man. The sister's got a pile of questions here. Can out children color pictures? I don't understand. It says, can out children color pictures of human beings and animals? Can our Okay, may our children color pictures of human beings and animals. They should stay away from it, because you are allowing them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Help one another in righteousness and piety, and do not help one another in sin and transgression. Okay, you brought the coloring book. Somebody already committed the sin of drawing that human being or that animal. Now you're going to assist your children to be in sin, and you're going to get sin with them if they haven't reached puberty. You're going to get the sin, because they're not going to get the sin. You're going to get the sin if your child is under puberty, of allowing them to participate in completing the black and white sketch of the human being or animal. By them coloring it in, you are helping them to execute or implement the fullness of the prohibition of the hadith by putting color to it. That's what you're doing. You're committing a sin. It's not permissible, and Allah knows best. Is it permissible for pictures to hang in the bathroom, seeing that the shaitan lives in the human, he lives in the hammam anyway, so the angels don't go in there anyway? It's not permissible to hang anything with a human being or animal in any part of the house. This question is assumed that shaitan lives in the bathroom. It's assumed because shaitan lives in the bathroom that you can hang pictures in there. You can't take one narration and knock another narration out. Because the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not contradict itself. I hope you understand what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. The Islamic revelation that Allah sent down does not contradict itself. You can't play one side towards the other. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, angels don't visit the house where there's pictures and dogs. Angels don't visit the house where there's little bells. Those bells, ding, 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 those little small silver bells. Angels don't visit houses where there's leopard skins. Angels don't visit houses. I can't think of some of the other things, but there's a number of things, and where angels don't visit the house, that those things are there. And we find Rasulullah. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanting to come to your house, the messenger of Allah, the vessel of revelation, the best of human beings, wanting to come to your house, Abdullah, come to your house, Amatullah, knock on the door, in the best of greetings, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa maghfiratuh. Man anta, who are you? Ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, al-Qurashi al-Hashimi. May I come in? You open up the door and you got a television playing. He's going to walk out. He's not going to come in your house. He's not going to come in your house, because you have something in there that Allah and his angels and the messenger of Allah hates. You have moving pictures, which is an imitation of the creational abilities of Allah and the forming of Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a name with an innate attribute in his name, and one of his 99 names that he revealed is El Musawwir. Allah is Al-Musawwir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls himself in the Quran Al-Musawwir, the one who makes pictures, the one who makes images. By you making pictures, taking snapshots, using videos, or allowing it to have it be in your house, you are aiding and abetting the people whom Allah says are competing with him and his creational abilities in making pictures. And there was no shirk in the creation, in the history of mankind. There was no shirk. No shirk, brothers and sisters. There was nothing but tawheed for 10 full generations of human beings on the planet. 10 full generations. There was no shirk on the planet Earth until somebody made images. No shirk, brothers, between Adam and Noah. So do you see the seriousness of this? And I'm happy to say, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ, that my brother in Islam, Abu Muhammad Abdul Rauf Shakir, who lives in Qatar right now, we all know him and love him, and may Allah reward him and keep him and his family safe. Ameen. We all know that he is a student of knowledge, He is a person, وَلَا أُزَكِّ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدًا, I don't praise anyone after Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's a sincere person for Islam and he's a student of knowledge. His book has been completed. I'm going to be given the copy of that book sometime tonight or tomorrow. It's going to be published, inshallah, very soon. And the book is dealing with the entire subject of pictures. And inshallah, it will clear up all the vagary, all of the cloudiness, all the confusion that people may have. And anyone who, after reading that book, still has these things in their homes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be questioned, but you will be questioned on the day of resurrection. Let me finish these things, these questions, inshallah. Yeah, because usually the brothers get them, and the sisters usually don't get there, they get this at the end. Yeah, that's why we're doing that for the women. If a marriage ended only 4 weeks after it was done, and I had my menses before I got divorced, we're going to save this, inshallah. We'll save this one. Everything has images on it, for example, Pampers, baby clothes. What do I do? Can I wear a t-shirt with an animal on it if I'm not in Salah? I try to get rid of the images, but they are everywhere. I go crazy trying to get rid of them. It's better for you to go crazy trying to get rid of them than to stand in front of Allah and be punished. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, the worst people with the worst punishment on the day of resurrection are those who had pictures, made pictures. The worst. He said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ الْعَذَابًا يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ الَّذِينَ يُصَوِّرُونَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The people who have the severest punishment on the day of resurrection are those who made pictures. The worst of punishments. And inshallah, once again, when you read Abu Muhammad Abdul Rauf's book, I think, brothers and sisters, you'll be convinced. Nobody of the past, no Muslims of the past, for 8 full generations of Muslims, differed on pictures. No one. The only people that differ on pictures and images are the modern day scholars. They're the only ones. It has to cast a shadow. It can't be three dimensional. Where did all this stuff come from? Allah and His Messenger cursed. Do you know what curse means, brothers and sisters? Do you know what the curse of Allah means? So it's better for you to take those cornflakes and Cheerios boxes and do like I do. Get your small sons and daughters who like to draw. Give them some, they like to mark up stuff anyway. Give them some black magic markers and let them go and dot out those faces on those pictures. That's what I do with my daughter. Just a minute, brothers. We're not finished. I get my daughter a magic marker. I don't have to tell her anymore. When the stuff comes in, she takes it gladly. When I bring the Reader's Digest in or whatever, she goes through the book and she colors out the faces. This may sound fanatical and extremist, brothers and sisters, but couldn't it just be that we're just too doggone laxed? Why do people call that extremism? Isn't it possible that through all these years we've been just too laxed and taking the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah and the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like a joke? Taking it very lightly? Oh, that doesn't really mean that. Trying to round and skid around the ayat, trying to circumvent the hadith. And we wonder why our households are not households of Quran. We wonder why our households are not households of the zikr of Allah. We wonder why there's so much discord in our homes. Because the angels are not coming and shaitan is there. Because any place that shaitan, that the angels don't like, anything that the angels don't like, any smell that the angels don't like, any sense that the angels don't like, any colors, anything that the angels don't like, who do you think likes it? Who do you think likes to smell it? Who do you think likes to be around it? Shaitan and the shayateen. So keep playing. Keep playing with the deen, brothers and sisters, and I'm not being funny. I'm using these words, and I'm very careful and mindful of what I'm saying. Keep playing with the deen. You want success, you want happiness, you want salvation, but you still have these things in your homes, thinking that Allah is going to forgive you. How's Allah going to forgive you if you keep disobeying Him? How's He going to forgive you? Okay. The next question from the sisters, then we'll take them from the brothers, inshallah. And we're going to take them from the brothers who haven't said anything. Because to some brothers that have been raising their hand, they've been speaking. And we want to give those brothers that haven't been saying anything. And it's 8:21, inshallah. We don't want to belabor this. If I come home, knock on my door, and my children ask, who is it? And I answer, it's Ummi. Is this prohibited? Must I state my name? And my answer to you, sister, is Allah knows best. Allah knows best, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, say your name. I don't know if it's permissible to say Ummi. Because Umm is not your name. So Allah knows best. The Prophet said, state your name. Alright? Now maybe some of your children don't know your name. No, I mean, you know, some children, you ask them, what's your Umm's name? They say, Umm. Right? So, tell them your name. Alright? Questions from the brothers now. And I think we're going to take three more and we'll save these because we don't want to belabor. It's 8:22 and we don't want to keep the sisters out real late and those children, sisters who have children, etc. Yeah, the brother's saying that people who make images, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that Allah and the angels and the Messenger of Allah curses those who have images, and that our mother Aisha radiallahu anha had dolls. How do we understand this? How do we get some tawfiq? How do we get some harmony between that, those narrations and this narration? It's very simple. Those dolls that she had were dolls that are worth of things that can't, that don't exist. They were things of fiction and things of things. What's the word I'm looking for? Things of mythical. That's what I mean. The horse, the doll that she had was a horse with wings. There's no such thing as a horse with wings in this life, right? So that's permissible. All right, that's permissible. As for those things that are like Barbie dolls and those type of things, those things are not permissible. There is an exception. Some of the ulama say that if you purchase those things to teach the child life skills, to teach them life skills, is permissible. Like a doll to teach your child, your daughter, how to change a diaper. Right? But even with that, you should remove the eyes and the face. You shouldn't have the image of a person. You see? Or you should remove an arm or something like this. So it's not a complete human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The brother... Yeah, let's just get the... The brother's asking the question, what about covering the pictures up? And the question is, the answer is... Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. Calendars or whatever. The question is, what about covering them up? I'll put it this way. I remember when I was very much, much, much younger, I went to the movies. Long before I was a Muslim. I was about 12, 13 years old. I went to the movies, and I remember it like it was yesterday. There was a picture that was out. It was two pictures I went to see. Psycho and The Hideous Sun Demon. That was the name of the flick. The Hideous Sun Demon. Right? The Hideous Sun Demon was this guy that, if he came out in the sun, he changed into this monster. Right? When the guy changed into a monster, when he got caught in the sun, I put my hands over my eyes. Because I was scared. I didn't want to see it. Let me ask the question now. Was that picture still there? That's my answer. The answer was yes, sisters, he said. The picture was still there. So in other words, if you cover the picture up, it doesn't mean it's gone. It's still there. The angels don't visit a house where there's pictures. Alright? Next brother. Now. 3 points? We said we were going to have three more questions, period. So make it one question, inshallah, because we really don't want to belabor it. So to have one question, then another brother has another question, then that'll be it. And we'll deal with just two more sisters' questions, and we'll save these questions, sisters, for later, inshallah. No. Well, while you're trying to figure out how to prioritize it, we're going to go to the next brother. Okay. The ulama, the brothers, there was a long statement. He said, "What about the video?" Of which I myself and Sheikh Muhammad Sayyid Adli were on in Ohio, I believe it was, where they taped the session on janazah. How do we get some tawfiq or some harmony between what we have just stated and that type of video? And should we have that in our houses, etc.? The answer to that is, number one, I'd like to say to preface my answer, is that number one, I told them explicitly, don't take my picture. That was number one. That's for the record. I said, don't video me. And if you notice, they had a video camera before Sheikh Muhammad Sayyid came on. Sheikh Muhammad Sayyid Adli came on. And I was by myself, I think, with someone else. Suhaib Hassan or someone. And they didn't use it because I told them, don't video me. I don't allow people to take pictures of me at all. Because I don't want to be part of the sin. That's number one. Number two, this particular issue is what the ulama, you say that is one of the three exceptions. There's the three basic exceptions. And the ulama are the ones who determine what those exceptions are, not us. Because we're not people of knowledge. The ulama are the ones who determine that. For instance, for medicine, for the medical field, when you need to take x-rays or pictures of people to assist them in aiding the recovery of someone in the medical field. Number two, where there's a situation where the person cannot learn how to do something in Islam except by pictures. For instance, you have some people living far off places that don't know how to make salat. Or you have some people who don't have someone around them teaching them how to wash and shroud the body or how to dig the grave. In this case, the ulama say that you can use pictures to demonstrate how to do those things. And the third isn't like, for instance, when some crime has been committed. You need mug shots and things like that to determine the sister being attacked or a brother being mugged or something like this. Outside of those three basic situations, and which falls under necessity. It falls under necessity. For instance, Hajj and Umrah are wajib. Hajj and Umrah are wajib. Hajj and Umrah are wajib. Both of them. In order to make Hajj or Umrah, you have to have a passport. In order to get a passport, you have to take pictures. There's a very basic principle in Islam, is usul al-fiqh, which is that which cannot be attained, that is wajib, unless you do something else, then that thing that is the something else becomes also wajib. مَا لَا يَتِمُّ الْوَاجِبِ إِلَّا بِهِ فَهُوَ وَاجِبِ. Yarhamakallah. In other words, for instance, Salatul Fajr is wajib. In order for you to perform Salatul Fajr, you have to make wudu. Wudu is a requirement for you to perform Salatul Fajr, so that means wudu becomes wajib. In order for your wudu to be accepted and to be valid, you have to say Bismillah. You have to say Bismillah. So in order to make the wudu valid, Bismillah has to be said, so saying Bismillah now becomes wajib. So the Bismillah is wajib, the wudu is wajib, and both of them are means to make the salat. So in order to make the Hajj, you have to have a passport. You don't necessarily have to have a picture on your driver's license. You don't. You can request not to have your picture. Yeah, you can request. Yeah, you don't have to have that picture on your passport. In whatever state you live in, you can ask them. You can't assume that you should never assume that you have to have, that you have to do the haram. If it's haram, you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you clear from the haram. You should just assume and do it. If it's haram, you're supposed to stay away from it. Because the Messenger of Allah said, وَمَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. And what I have prohibited you from, you stay away from it, all of it. So you just can't say, you just can't go to the place and get your picture taken without asking, do I have to get my picture taken? You see? Alright, so then Allah knows best, and we'll end it with that. If they're going to say yes, then you take it. And you seek refuge with Allah while you're taking it. You ask Allah to forgive you. And if you want to take it one step further, make tawbah. Because you've committed a sin. Yeah, but I'm saying, if you want to take it one step further, if the sin is not on you, even when you commit it, because when you commit a sin, whether it's on you or not, the people of the past used to make tawbah anyway. You say that when someone peeks inside of your house or windows without permission, that it was permissible to poke or punch out. I didn't say punch. To poke out their eye. But in the Quran, it states that a Muslim should not harm another Muslim with their hand or their tongue. Isn't the statement you're making contradicting the Quran? No, the statement is not contradicting the Quran, because there is no verse in the Quran that says that you should not harm a Muslim with your tongue. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. There's no verse in the entirety of the 6,600 verses of the Quran that says this. There is a hadith that says this. But that hadith that says, Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi, the Muslim is one whom his hand and his tongue is safe from, that hadith is a general hadith. The hadith of poking out the person's eye is a specific hadith when the person doesn't violate you. Now, you're being told by the Messenger of Allah to hurt that Muslim. So, they're not contradicting each other. If the person is not peeking in your house, then you go back to the other hadith. The Muslim is the one whose Muslim's hands and tongue are safe from. Which means that Muslim shouldn't have been peeking in your house. They shouldn't be peeking in your house. Alright? And Allah knows best. There's no contradiction in the revelation of Allah. Ever. It's the misunderstanding that we have. But there's no contradiction in the deen of Islam. I was told by a sister that you are to be covered at all times even in the shower. Is this true? It is not true whatsoever. It is not true whatsoever. It is not true whatsoever. There's no validity for that whatsoever. And Allah knows best. And we're going to end it here, inshallah. And come back with these questions. We're going to save them and come back, inshallah, for the appropriate time. And inshallah, brothers and sisters, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله